Holy Spirit, would you take these words to speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. There was a priest who was at a seminar, and he heard the speaker say this: "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife." The crowd was shocked. Then he continued, "My mother." The crowd laughed, and he finished the rest of his speech, which held everyone's attention. And the young priest liked the joke so much that he thought he would use it the next Sunday, which happened to be Mother's Day. And so at the appropriate time in the sermon, he came to tell the joke, and he said, "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife." There was an audible gasp in the congregation. And smiling, he started to continue and realized that he'd forgotten the punchline. So he stood there for about 10 seconds trying to decide what to do, and during which time his wife, who was sitting in the second row now, began to weep out loud. Now, even more frustrated that he couldn't remember the punchline, he decided to try it again in hopes that it would jog his memory. So he said, "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife." Still blank. His wife passed out and fell on the thumb onto the aisle, and an usher started walking down toward him. Women were holding their chests, and men were either praying or thanking God that he had finally put his foot in his mouth. Panicking, the priest desperately tried again. "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife." And then he blurted out, "But for the life of me, I can't remember who she was." I preached a lot of sermons in this church, but for the life of me, I can't remember very many of them. And I suspect you might be in the same boat. But the reality is that sermons that are preached from the pulpit are not necessarily designed just to inform us intellectually, although they can do that. But I believe sermons are preached to touch our spirits, to touch deep within us, because that's really where true changes are made in our lives, in the area of the spirit. And so, certainly as we talk about the Word of God is something that can be used by the Holy Spirit to make those changes within our human spirits. God can certainly also inform our minds and change our thinking about things through sermons, but ultimately I believe the sermon is designed to touch and change our human spirits. St. Paul preached many sermons to the churches that he founded, and his desire was not that people would love him or praise his sermonizing, but that they would connect with Jesus. Turn in your bulletins, if you will, to page 5 and find our second lesson from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And he begins by saying, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." When I came to St. Anne's almost 19 years ago, my main goal was to try to proclaim Jesus Christ whenever I had the opportunity to do so. I've done so through our various Bible studies, through our Alpha course, through our newsletter articles, and through many of my sermons. And if you paid attention, in almost every sermon, I talked about Jesus in some way or another. Or certainly I talked about some of his teachings and how that we are to live our lives in accordance with his teachings. The second thing I determined to do was to love you with the love of the Lord. Paul says in verse 3, "I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message was and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." When I came here first, I came here in great weakness with really fear and trembling, like Paul said, because I wasn't sure if you were going to receive my message or not. I wasn't sure if you were going to receive the things I had to share with you. I could only hope that the Holy Spirit would bring alive the gospel words that I would be sharing with you. That's why I begin most of my sermons with, "Come Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name." What I'm really praying is that I'm asking the Holy Spirit to take these fallible words of mine along with the Word of God and to meld them together to somehow touch your heart and your mind. So I ask that really my words would be something that would not be viewed as simply a nice sermon, but rather something that would delve deep within and touch the hearts and would be something that we would inwardly digest in our hearts and our minds. Verse 6 says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God is destined for our glory before time began." One of the things I've tried to do is to not only proclaim the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ on Sundays, but also to try to give mature Christians in our church solid food to equip minds and hearts with God's truth so that they may always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks them for the reason for the hope that they have within them in Jesus Christ. I've also sought to remind us as Christians that there is a home in heaven to which we all are going when we are called home by the Lord. Paul says this in verse 9, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit." I've tried to remind you that the good works that we do are not those things that will ultimately save us, but that we are saved because of our faith in Jesus Christ. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, and not of works, so that no one will boast. And certainly we recognize that we can't save ourselves because of our own good works. Paul goes on to say, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do." So the good works that we do are a result of our salvation. And these good works are things that will one day be rewarded in heaven. These are the things that are among those which no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor our minds has conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Many people, even some Christians, think that heaven will be boring, that we'll just be sitting on clouds playing harps and things like that. But nothing could be further from the truth. Some Christians really don't give much thought to heaven. We can become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but many Christians really are so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. There was a Sunday school teacher who was teaching her children about heaven one day, and she asked the children, "Who wants to go to heaven?" And all the kids raised their hand except one little boy. And she said, "Johnny, why don't you want to go to heaven?" He said, "Well, sure I do. But I thought you were getting a group together to go right now." We all want to go to heaven, but we'd like to put it off as long as possible. So we don't think much about it. Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to you and take you to be where I am." So we know as Christians that when we die, the Lord will come and take our spirits to be with Him in heaven. Again, you often hear me talking about the Holy Spirit. He is often the unsung hero in the Trinity. We often forget that it's through the Holy Spirit that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we come to believe in Christ. He sends His Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to mingle with our human spirits, and to make us acceptable to God. The Holy Spirit begins the process of changing our human spirits and making them more like Christ. The Holy Spirit also is available to empower us to live a more Christian life and to utilize the gifts that God has given us for His purposes in His kingdom. The Spirit makes known to us the things that God wants us to know. He does that by speaking to us through His Word, the Bible, and also through that inner voice within us that He uses to reveal things to us. Here is how Paul puts it at the end of verse 10. "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows the person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." End quote. The Bible tells us what God has freely given us, and the Spirit brings those things alive in our hearts and our minds, from salvation to the gifts of the Spirit, to the power of the Spirit to do more than we can do ourselves. The Spirit helps us to understand the deeper things of God. That's not so for the unbeliever. Look at what verse 14 says about the unbeliever. "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." Christianity does not make sense to the unbeliever because it is only clearly understood by the power of the Holy Spirit. We should not expect the unbeliever to behave, act, speak, or think like a believing Christian. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. That Spirit can bring the truths of God alive in the unbeliever when they hear the gospel message. When the Spirit brings alive Jesus Christ in our hearts and the truths of God in our minds, then we begin to think about things the way Christ wants us to think about them. We begin to act like Christ wants us to act. We begin to speak things the way Christ wants us to speak. We have the mind of Christ, Paul says, but we really have the mind of Christ to the degree that we are submitted to the Holy Spirit. I've tried these many years to present the truths of Scriptures in ways that you can understand, in the hopes that you would grow in the knowledge and love of the Lord. Yesterday I announced to the vestry that I would be retiring after Pentecost. And for some of you, this may be a shock. For others, it may be something you might have expected. For others, you might have thought, why did it take you so long? But I'll continue to work, pray, and to give myself to the Lord and to you until that time. My hope is that you will not just depend upon me and my Sunday messages, but rather learn to become self-feeders who can get into the Word and get the Word of God into yourselves. Also, to rededicate yourself to how you can improve and grow your ministries and your work in the church. I have much more to share with you in the coming months, but let me conclude with this. Echoing what Paul writes to Philemon, he writes these words, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I know your love for me and all his holy people, and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with me in the faith may continue to be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you have refreshed my heart and the hearts of the Lord's people." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word and how it can truly change our hearts and give a new understanding to how we are to live our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to pour out your Spirit upon us so that we might grow in our understanding and ability to live the Christian life, that you would also help us to be more effective in the ministries to which you called us, that you would give us the grace we need as we move forward in the spreading of your kingdom to those around us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.